morning.
Mr. Medeiros, you have performed so many worthwhile services for the town of Westport and for so many years that I am eager to talk with you about them and about your life and work here in Westport in general. You are at present a dairy farmer. For years you were on the Conservation Commission. I understand that now you have been there for, that you were there for 22 years. You are now on the Soil Board of the Bristol County Division of it. Is that right?
Yes, it's the Soil Conservation District. And we have our functions are with the whole county as a whole, mm-hmm. rather than just one town.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the original Conservation Commission, mm-hmm. the first one organized. I can't tell you just when it was organized, but I think I served for about 10 years on that.
Mm-hmm. I know some of the other people. I remember that, Sarah Delano was on.
Yes, Sarah and I were both, we were on the original commission, and then we had Mr. Marsden from Westport
mm-hmm.
Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall, Bill Heath.
Bill Heath, yes.
He was on the original.
He was very much interested mm-hmm. in it. Mm-hmm. And I also understand that you're a town assessor. I hope that you will tell me as much as possible of these and your other good deeds and public services to our town. You are a dairy farmer. Yeah. How large is your farm?
We have 235 acres. About 100 of it is tillable. And about 20 or 30 is rough pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born there.
Yes.
Right there on Sodom Road.
Yes. How long ago? You look so young. See all the things
I'll be 51 in January.
You will be? That seems impossible.
And let's say I was born there. My father came there in 1918.
Mm-hmm.
They operated a small farm, a rented farm, and they had a retail dairy business in the city of Fall River.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came out and bought this farm and operated. He and his two brothers operated the farm and the dairy business. And then
the farm's located on
871 Sodom Road.
Yeah. I want to.
Yeah.
We'll probably have a little map of the town with each of your location with each of these reports.
We have the name of the farm is Highview Farm.
Highview.
We're one of the highest spots, not the highest, but one of the highest spots in the town of Westport. We're about 210 feet above sea level. And I think the highest spot is about 232 feet, which is located over on 177.
Oh.
It's the highest spot in the town of Westport. So, mm-hmm. but we have a beautiful view of Tiverton, Little Compton. We can see Mount Hope Bridge.
You can.
We can see the towers of the Newport Jamestown Bridge.
Oh, that's fine.
The water tank on top of Quaker Hill over in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. And also the New England Power, the steeples at New England Power.
Your father was certainly a wise man yeah. when he came
we
and bought that
farm. Beautiful
spot.
We love it.
Mm.
We love it. And
how many cows?
We've got 85 head right now. Mm-hmm. My two boys just came with me in the farming business
mm-hmm.
in June, and we want to expand the herd to about 140.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing some land clearing. We just purchased a bulldozer to do some land clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And
you raise your own feed.
Raise all our feed for our cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where do you sell the milk?
We sell it to Yankee Milk, which is a co-op, and they in turn sell to Gulf Hill Dairy, who does the hauling for us.
Mm-hmm. Is Yankee Milk
wholesale.
In New Bedford?
Yankee Milk is a New England cooperative.
I see.
And controlling about 60% of the milk in New England.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cooperative formed about 3 years ago. It was a joint venture by United Farmers, New England Milk Producers, and Consolidated Milk Producers, forming one organization and calling themselves Yankee Milk.
Mm-hmm.
Typical
of
New England.
Do you put the cans of milk out and do they pick them up? Or
no, we have bulk tanks.
You have bulk tanks,
yeah,
and
we
you just put run a hose into
right,
them and they
yeah.
drive by. Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, we changed our system. We were in what they call a stanchion barn,
mm-hmm.
and then we went to what they call free choice stalls. It's an open type system where the cows have free choice and they're not locked up whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a milking parlor,
mm-hmm.
which the cows come into, and the milk goes direct from the cow into stainless steel right into the holding tank. It's not exposed to the air whatsoever.
Isn't that marvelous?
We've been into this
progress.
12 years.
That's really progress. It's, I mean, that's wonderful. What do you think of this business of, as assessor, of the hardships a great many farmers say they have? Now, you don't seem to feel so much hardship, but so many farmers are going out of business because they feel that they can't make a living farming. There's been much reduction or talk of reduction of giving the farmers a tax break. But I was wondering, here where farmland is assessed fairly lowly anyway,
it is at the present
do you need
time.
The tax break?
Mm-hmm. Well, the state has come up with a new law. I don't know if you're aware of it.
No.
Chapter 61A of the General Laws of Massachusetts, and it does give the farmer a tax break. In other words, his land is being taxed now as agricultural land
mm-hmm.
rather than potential developing land.
Mm-hmm.
And this does give him a tax break.
Mm-hmm.
There is clauses in the law that, if he sells it, for instance, he has to pay a rollback tax.
I see.
To the town.
I see.
So that the town is protected.
Yes.
If you've owned the land less than 10 years, you go on a graduated scale from 10 to 0,
mm-hmm.
depending on the number of years. And on that one, you pay the percentage of years that you've owned it
mm-hmm.
on the gross sales of that land
yeah.
back to the town.
You know, I'm
so
a farmer.
Good.
I'm
good.
A tree farmer.
Oh, yes, I know.
And
the Potter boys put a lot of trees in here.
We've
and I think did you purchase them from the district?
Yes.
Yes, well, that's
12,000.
Right, I recall when you purchased them.
Different trees. Mm. And so all of what you're saying does apply to me, too.
Yes. And then, of course, if they're working on a new one now, what they call land development rights. And it'll be in the legislature this coming year, and it looks very favorable. And this is that the state will be purchasing land development rights.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what you do is you sell the state your right to develop that land, either in industry or in home sites.
Mm-hmm.
And it stays forevermore in agriculture.
That's marvelous. This is wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, and I have a feeling that it's going to go through because most of the legislatures are in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we don't know what our opposition is going to be as yet until it gets on the legislative floor. But what they're going to do, they'll send an appraiser down, appraise your land as development land,
mm-hmm.
and then appraise it for agriculture
mm-hmm.
and pay you the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, in turn, will have to sign a release to the state, and this is recorded in the registry,
mm-hmm.
that that farm will be agriculture from now or nevermore.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you get reimbursed by the state for the difference between the development price and the agricultural price.
Mm.
It gives the farmer something to work for. Because
interested in this. So what, for instance, if your grandchildren don't want to farm?
Well, they'll be able to sell it. Have the rights to sell. You have the rights to trespass. You have the right to work it. You have the right to hunt on it. Do anything but develop it. You've
mm-hmm.
sold your development rights. This
mm-hmm.
you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And for this, the state will pay you.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel with this that they can maintain land in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for the farmer, but for the people in New England.
Yes.
Because 15% of the food, only 15% of the food consumed in Massachusetts is produced in Massachusetts.
Yeah. That's
if we ever were and we had a disaster where the railroad or the trucking could not operate, we could die of starvation.
To death.
Right,
mm-hmm.
we could die of starvation.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very helpful. Is there anything else you should tell me about what's being done in relation to farming?
I was really enthused about being appointed to the Conservation Commission, and I really enjoyed the work. And the reason I resigned, and I did resign,
mm-hmm.
Was that I was wearing two hats.
I know.
The state came in, and the Conservation Commission was given the task of implementing the Wetlands Act.
Yes.
And there was times when someone would apply and want a piece of land that probably was worth something, and they applied for landfilling, And the Conservation Commission, in their judgment, felt that it would hurt the environment to issue this permit.
Mm-hmm.
So then we would turn them down.
Mm-hmm.
But then, on the other, with the other hat, I would turn around as an assessor and assess them for it.
Yes.
It did have some value.
Yes.
So I felt at that time, when that bill came in, and it was to be under the jurisdiction of the Conservation Commission, that I didn't feel I wanted to wear two hats.
I think that's
so
very honest.
I resigned from the Conservation
yes.
Commission. I felt I could do more for the town as an assessor than, you know,
yes.
serving, trying to serve two,
yes.
two masters. Mm-hmm. And as I say, I'm on the Soil Conservation District, and that's very interesting. And I've been chairman, and I'm presently their treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
I say I've been on since 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And probably serve a few more years and then retire.
Mm-hmm.
Let someone else
take over. All right, tell me about growing up. You grew up on the farm your father bought. Where did your father come from?
He came from the Azore Islands. He was 16 years of age at the time. He came here in 1885.
Mm-hmm. Did he come on a whaler or something like
no,
that?
No, they came over on a boat, a regular steamer. And I believe he told me it took him 35 days.
Mm-hmm.
Come from the Azores over, and they landed in Boston, and then they came to Fall River,
mm-hmm.
which was industrial city,
mm-hmm.
and they had a lot of the mills.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked in the mill
mm-hmm.
for a while, but he didn't like it.
No.
He was confined, and he wanted to get outdoors. So then they bought a piece of land and started raising a few cattle, and then they started the milk retail business in the
mm-hmm.
city of Fall River.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually moved out to Westport.
Mm-hmm. He spoke English?
He did, fluently,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Yes.
Yeah. He couldn't read or write.
No.
But he had a lot of business in him.
Yes.
Matter of fact,
he was probably terribly intelligent.
Yeah. He owned the piece of land that now, where the high school now is situated. We owned
mm-hmm.
it, and we sold that to the town of Westport.
Mm-hmm.
He used to do a lot of buying and selling.
Mm-hmm.
He often said that maybe it was a good thing he didn't have too much schooling because he'd probably be a racketeer and end up in jail.
That's good.
I say that a lot of times, but he was well liked in town.
Yes.
I say he couldn't read or write, but he could do a lot of business.
He did business. Business was his. It was really his recreation in
right,
a way,
it was,
wasn't
yeah.
it?
So
what did he do for fun? I mean, did he...
He liked to travel. He enjoyed traveling. He used to make a point of at least once a year to go up either New York State. Of course, in those days, if you went to New York State, that was
that
it.
Like
New York State and Canada. And he had Mr. Norman. I don't know if you knew him. He was a tax collector at the time.
No, I didn't.
His son lives on Main Road at the junction of Hicks Bridge Road,
mm-hmm.
the Normans. The daughter works for the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was great friends with Mr. Norman, and he and Mr. Vieira, which there's still quite a few of the Vieiras in
mm-hmm.
town, and there was one other. Oh, Mr. DeAndre. I don't know if you know Frank
yes,
DeAndre.
Yes.
Well, Frank's father. They were chum, and the four of them, every year, they'd take a week off, and they'd go to Canada or New York State. This was their favorite spot. They'd go
yeah.
up there and look at cattle, and then they'd just make it a business trip and recreation.
Recreation.
The last
great.
Few years, he spent quite a bit of time in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I was back running the farm then.
You were there by mm-hmm. that time. You were grown up and running the farm.
It was my mother had seven children.
Yeah.
There was only two of us that really survived. My yeah. sister Mary, which you know.
Yes.
And myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary still lives in the old house.
Yes.
And when I got married in '49, I married a girl from Fall River, Laura, and I built a home there, right side of the old house,
mm-hmm.
and we've. I had six children.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two married daughters.
That's,
they both live in town. They don't want to live out of town.
They both live here in Westport.
Yeah.
Like Westport.
Yes.
You're Westporters.
And then I've got two sons that I say are in business with me. Michael, who's 21, and Stephen just graduated from high school.
Aren't you lucky to have your young people wanting to carry on
mm-hmm.
with
yeah,
you
they do. They
because
love it.
They because you know I mean getting help
mm-hmm.
is a very
yeah.
difficult thing today. If you didn't have their help,
I wouldn't stay in farming if the boys wouldn't want to stay with me because I'd had, well, say 40 years of it
mm-hmm.
since I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't with me, I wouldn't stay with it.
No,
you know?
No. I think
as
that's
long
what's
as they
happened
love it.
To a good many of the farmers whose children wanted to get off
that's
the farm.
Right, yeah. Well, they like it, and The oldest boy graduated from high school, and had a friend of mine who was in the farm machinery business, and he worked for him for a couple of years, and he didn't care for it. He wanted to come back on the farm. So they say they're both, two of them are in business with me now, and we want to expand, I heard. Take some land, put in more land into cultivation.
All right, when you were young, what did you do for fun? Did you work all the time? I mean, farmers had to get up early in the morning.
We did a lot of sledding and skating in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And some summers we'd swim, do swimming in the summer, go down to Horseneck Beach.
Did you have a garden that provided you a lot of, did your mother, let's say, have a garden that?
When I was a kid, well, in those days, farming was more diversified for the simple reason that they had horses and it was all hand tools and they were diversified. My father used to have a greenhouse. We used to raise vegetables for market. We had cows, we had chickens. But today, with all the machinery you need and the expense of the machinery, you have to get, you have to be specific.
You have to concentrate.
Indulge in one product rather than be diversified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you either got to go into potatoes or into vegetables and get the equipment to go along with it.
Mm-hmm. No, can't afford to have all of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In your family, do you have any special interests aside from farming?
I would like to put up a greenhouse and just kind of putter with plants. I'd love to do it. At the present time, I don't have the time, but
no.
I think this is one of my goals that my youngest son, now I have a son that's 9 years old, and he loves plants. So I think that probably that'll be my hobby.
When you retire more
When
or
I
less.
Retire from the farm. Uh-huh. I don't think I'll ever go into complete retirement. I'd like to go into semi-retirement.
Yes.
I don't think anyone should go into complete retirement.
Would you raise flowers or vegetables? Or?
A little of both. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to do some experimental work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cross-pollination and get different strains.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really interesting working with soil.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, it is.
I love it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just marvelous. That's exactly what I thought about, too. Well, let's talk about, has your food always been just about the same? I mean, let's say your father came here from the Azores. Did they, as you look back on your childhood, if you were going to have Thanksgiving dinner, was it just about what you have this year for Thanksgiving dinner?
I would say so. That's one thing about farming. We never went hungry.
No.
I you know, a lot of people talk about the Depression and, you know, not having enough food on the table. That's one thing about farming. You always have enough food on the table. I can recall when I was a youngster, my father would go out and buy a half a steer, or we'd raise a steer for the house, and we'd always have ample meat, bread, potatoes, vegetables, milk.
Mm-hmm.
Probably didn't have all the luxuries, but
no.
We always had a good table.
Yes.
And I think that's one reward that farming does have, and that I think we'll always eat.
Yes, I think so. That's yes. And how about fishing? Did you ever go in for fishing or
I do go quahogging two or three. I love to go quahogging two or three times a year. We go and get a mess of quahogs, but I've never done much in the line of pole fishing.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Quahogs.
Let's say quahogs and clams, and we buy a few lobsters from the local boys once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And,
of course, they're terribly expensive now.
Yes, yes.
They didn't used to be.
But, I love quahogs and clams. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love fish, too.
Yeah.
I enjoy fish.
Mm-hmm.
I say, but I don't go fishing myself.
No. No. Well.
One of the other things probably that I could bring out is that I was on the original committee that organized the Little League in town.
Oh, you were?
Yes, I was the first vice president, and I helped build the first field, the Little League field over there beyond the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, I say at that time, all I had was two daughters.
Yes.
Little did I know that...
you were going to have all these nice sons.
No, this year, my youngest daughter was 9 years old, she's 11 years old, played Little League ball on that field.
How old?
She played Little League with the boys.
Yes.
There was only, I think, two girls playing, and she played Little League.
That's my...
Yeah. The boys never did care for baseball, and they never got involved. I played, in high school,
Where did you go to high school?
Westport High. Graduated from Westport High. which is now the Milton E. Earl School. Mm-hmm. That was the high school.
Who was principal then?
Well, we had Mr. Earl, and then Mr. Gifford.
Mm-hmm.
I think those were the two.
Did you like school?
I did. I enjoyed school,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I took the agricultural class on the Harold Wood,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Wood.
Mm-hmm.
And he was our instructor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I taped Mr. Wood the other day.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only thing I, one thing I kind of sticks in my crop in school was that I couldn't play baseball because that was a springtime sport.
Yes, and you were busy.
And I had to go home.
Yes.
And of course, I graduated in 1944,
mm-hmm.
which made it the war years.
Yes.
We couldn't get help.
Yes.
So I used to have to go, and then the minute school was over, that was a must.
Yeah.
I had to go home and get back to the farm.
Yeah. Yes.
So I didn't play baseball. But in the fall of the year, I played football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we organized a team. After I got out of high school, we organized a basketball team, and we played in the Tiverton League for about 3 or 4 years with Donald Bruder, Bebo, Ed Bebo, George Azevedo, myself, Pete Manchester. I can't recall who the other
was. Was Jim first playing there then, or had
Jim was a couple years older than,
you
yeah,
were.
And
so
Bill
he was
a couple years older
yes,
than Jim.
Jim, mm-hmm.
right.
So they'd gone on to
they'd
other
gone
things.
On, right, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Jim became professional
right.
For a while until
yeah.
he had to go into the service. You were actually too young to go into the World War II.
Well, no, I was exempt because of agriculture.
I see.
Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
I didn't get into the service.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wondered whether, you know, maybe it wasn't a good thing. I probably should have gone. You know, I think every boy should go. And
might have broadened your...
Yeah, it does. It broadens your scope and, mm-hmm. and gives you a lot of insight.
Because you might have been killed and then you
well,
should have
Well, that you don't know. It's
no.
You think you can always get killed in an automobile.
I know.
You know.
No.
But I think it's great. Of course, no one likes to go to war.
No.
But,
no.
You know,
and we want to
service,
work hard for peace.
You know, if there wasn't war, I think the service would be a great thing for every boy.
Yes.
You know, just
if
the
it
discipline.
Was, just
the discipline.
If you were just going as a discipline,
right.
and there was
no,
no
war.
If it was a peace service, like the Peace Corps or something
right.
like that, that you would go to, that would be marvelous,
you would.
Rather than to go and kill people.
Yeah, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last question that is awfully important, and it may be too hard, maybe you wouldn't improve anything. Maybe you wouldn't change anything if you could. Would you like Westport to stay just the way it is?
I think
or do you
so.
Think there's anything you would change?
No, I like it the way it is. I think it's a great town. I don't think there's any other like it. We have so much to offer. We have the ocean. We have the river. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the town of Westport is a leading town in the state of Massachusetts for a number of dairy farms. A number
is.
Of farms. Per
it is?
Yeah, they were the leading town in the state of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
We had more cattle than any other town until Cumberland Farms moved into Bridgewater with about 1,800 head on one farm.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, the town of Westport was the leading town in cow number and in the number of farms. We're still leading in the number of farms.
Mm-hmm.
But at the present time, we don't lead in the number of cattle, because
mm-hmm.
I say Cumberland's got 1,800 cows on one farm in Bridgewater, and that kind of upset
well,
the apple cart.
What about our population growth and the tremendous increase in the number of developments here in Westport? Would
well,
you like that to keep on going that
well,
way?
Well, I think we can stand some growth. I don't want to see it too fast. And I think we've been fortunate in one sense that we haven't had no large developer
no.
actually move into Westport.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 years ago, we had one developer that did put in about 75 homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the only large influx
mm-hmm.
of building in this town. At the present time, probably 40 or 50 homes with all the contractors,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think is too bad.
No.
It probably could be slowed down a little
yes.
bit. But you have to accept some growth.
Yes. The
know.
Zoning... Now the new, all the zoning regulations that have come in have slowed it down.
Right, definitely, yeah, I think
and
so.
Your conservation.
Yeah,
with,
and I think
and
if this development rights...
And your wetlands and...
Yeah, I think if this development rights thing comes into effect, that this is going to have large to do with it. Because, as I say, once you've sold your rights, then that's going to be agricultural land for now and evermore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the great features the town has.
Yes.
Is that we do have a lot of open land.
Yes.
In these other towns, and you know, they're just being swamped by
yes, they are.
Dartmouth, of course, Somerset is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no such thing as land in Somerset anymore. And Dartmouth's rapidly going into development.
Yeah.
And I think this is one asset that we do have. We still have a lot of open land. And any way I can see to preserve it, I think it would be great.
Well, thank you very much for coming over and talking with me, because you've given really a very concrete, definite point of view and much information.
It's too bad that this thing wasn't started years ago. Because
yes, it is.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
We've already said goodbye, but I think it would be fun to come back and tell about your hobby of
auctioneering. Yeah, I've taken up a little auctioneering, and I enjoy doing it. We do a couple of churches every year, the Stone Church in Little Compton, and then we are the Stone Church on Stone Church Road, and then the church at the Commons in Little Compton. And I also do auctioneering for the Lions Club and Westport Farmer Group. And this year I sold a cake four different times and got $340 for the Westport Fair.
Oh.
Well, that's another organization that I helped organize.
Well, that's what I heard.
The Young Farmer Group and the Westport Fair, which now on coming up to our 20th year, Westport Fair.
You helped to organize the fair.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little about that, because I still have a few minutes left on this,
yeah.
I think.
Well, this was organized by Mr. McGar, who was then the BOAG instructor in the town of Westport.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a group of young fellows together, and we still call ourselves the Westport Young Farmers, even though we're in our 50s and 60s. But we do have young farmers coming along. My sons belong to the organization. And it's, they say, it's just a...
How many years ago did you say you organized the fair?
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
We've been operating... We stopped 2 years because of the renovating of the high school.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, and it's a non-profit thing. We don't make any money. We make enough money to operate the fair the coming year. We charge no admission, no parking. We do have a barbecue, which we get a little revenue from. And we have an auction that we sell cakes at our tractor pull.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we grossed, I think, $800 just from the cake sale. And the girls make the cakes and donate them, and then I auction them off, and it's the proceeds go to the Westport Fair.
Yes.
And it just keeps us going from year to year.
Yes.
We've been very fortunate that we haven't had any bad weather to cancel out the fair.
Isn't that marvelous?
Yes.
You've just been lucky, haven't
we
you?
We have, yeah. God's been with us.
I hope it continues to be that way, because it's always so exciting. And the barbecues, I can remember... My children loving to go up so much. I had children when I was fairly ancient, and they loved going to the fair. It was a big event in their lives too, and waiting in line. You know, you'd have to stand around and wait in line for a long time for the barbecue and smelling it and eating it and buying a cake and so on was one of the best things that happened to us in the summer. So I think it's a great thing that you helped organize that. So I'll thank you again.